everywhere. Good evening, everybody. This has been a really great generative kind of evening. And thank you for both of your poetry. I don't know what I should be saying here. Maybe it might be helpful to kind of speak about the contribution that I made and the process, I think, of coming to be part of the project by way of open call. I think a lot of us didn't really know what this thing would become, and so kind of mutated into its own, like, little animal of its own somehow. And it really kind of feels like a first gesture of kind of getting to know one another, given the whole thing was on Zoom. And I think I only really met one other participant in the project by accident when I was in Cape Town, and of Tara Khalif, who is in the publication, and he was living in Cape Town at the time and is now back in Ramallah. But I think instead of trying to explain my piece, maybe I should just read a few paragraphs and kind of get out of trying to be didactic. Please, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to begin with a lengthy quotation from Santu Mofokeng from his book, Chasing Shadows. He's a really incredible photographer who's done a lot of beautiful work on black churches in South Africa, on trains, and also in public space, and also really incredible landscape photography. So he writes, many South Africans believed in apartheid as in Inyanga, as in the Shambok, as they believed in everything which makes it unnecessary for them to forge their own destiny. They loved their fear, it reconciled them with themselves, it suspended the faculties of the spirit like a sneeze. Apartheid was a roof, and under this roof, life was difficult. Many aspects of life were concealed, prescribed. People tried to live their lives in dignity, but their joy was tainted with guilt and defiance. Nothing forces a backward glance like a threat. The Chinese say that our body is a memory of our ancestors. This is an ominous proposition, since apartheid is an impossible ancestor, inappropriate and unsuitable. Whenever we come under threat, we remember who we are and where we come from and respond accordingly. The word remember needs elaboration. Remember is a process by which we restore to the body forgotten memories. The body in this case is the landscape on whose skin and belly histories and myths are projected, which is central to forging national identity. One can't travel far within this country before coming upon shadowed ground of negative remembrances of violence and tragedy. This partly explains my I feel like I've never read this word in my life, even though I wrote it here. Thanks, that one. Here and in foreign lands. I promise I wrote this here. This journey, which began at home in Soweto, took me to places infested with spiritual meaning in the Free State, concentration camps, burial grounds in Middelburg, Greylungstadt and Brandfort, in my effort to embody the South African landscape. Okay, so we've spoken a lot about walking, my piece kind of starts off speaking about a project when I was pretending to be an anthropologist, when I thought anthropology was like a worthwhile endeavor, right? Quickly abandoned that project. And this project was really engaged in walking as a methodology. Unearthed into gold mine dumps that simultaneously poison its citizenry and provide safe havens for remarkable scenes of joy and worship and harrowing scenes of gender-based violence alike, the land on which South Africa rests and embeds itself necessitates that we not just walk the city, but also listen to the frequencies and resonances of the land and the sonic palimpsest that it offers us. And more importantly, take seriously the emotional work this listening demands of us, where affect, discomfort, desire, and joy become far more useful and indeed productive ways of knowing and tending to the land than only relying on historiographic or juridical analyses of land-based narrative. Listening is ephemeral and unquantifiable. It predisposes a vulnerability in the listener, a posture of being agape that undoes the carceral imperative from which borders have demarcated the Bantustan, the nation state and their hauntings. In engaging imperial space-time as a stratagem of empire, listening takes seriously how sonics undo Western conceptions of both time and knowing as processes occurring solely through rational cognition. One day during my fieldwork, I was speaking to one of the project participants at the end of the lunch break that separates the morning service and the afternoon service. For the purposes of this article, we'll call him Vusi. Vusi strongly identifies as a Zulu migrant laborer from rural KwaZulu-Natal and belongs to the Church of Shembe, or Amanazareta. During our conversation, the head bishop began the course on 20 over the large PA system that the church sets up in the park outside Doornfontein train station every Saturday. Eson 20 means at church. The bishop makes his call like an adhan calling worshippers to remove their shoes and prepare for service. The bishop called again, Eson 20, his voice reverberated through the brick park and into the concrete corridors of the adjacent train station. Fusi stopped midway through his sentence and said, "We better go. The angels are coming now. You know, he's not just calling us to church, he's calling the angels down from heaven to join us." His eyes were leaking joy, and they come. It's not just that we believe. No, they actually come. They are here with us. After the final service each Sabbath, congregants hold umkiri, a sonic and performative communion for the ancestral grounding of the collective, different sonically to umkiri held by Izangoma. That centers the feverish, persistent, polyrhythmic beatings of drums. Umkiri wa Manazareta is similarly hypnotic, but it is distinctively slow and measured. Drums beat in unison, emphasizing the rhythmic and deliberate planting of congregants' bare feet on the ground as they too move in unison. The simultaneous impact on both the ground and the drum is something to hold on to amongst the repetitive, polyrhythmic, antiphonal, atonal blowing of imbomo, long metal horns, which were originally introduced to the church in 1910 by their first prophet, Isaiah Shembe. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead. For me, Umkiri is a way of going elsewhere and returning, a sonic technology for going... Sorry. For me, Umkiri is a sonic technology for going elsewhere and returning, for punctuating and remembering the networks of angels, of worship, of work, loss, life, death, of joy. It fills you up and empties you out. It is a refusal of individuation. Listening and sounding and the multiple life worlds they invite act as refusal of the chronopolitical, where time is weaponized against both the living and the living dead as a means of justifying extraction and disposition. Okay, I think I'll stop there. I think just because it really bounces off, you know, your comments about time. Thank you. and your comments about there not being angels in places that are supposedly barren, supposedly only filled with blood and death, right? And it also makes me think a lot about the piece that you mentioned as well, Nabil, around graves and the exhumation of graves in the kind of capturing of land and the way graves operate within South Africa as like the only symbol, the only way to prove land tenure, right? In the context of people are still being dispossessed of their land even post-apartheid. And now with these kind of Bantustan bills that are in the process of being passed currently, okay, sure. So Bantustans being the homelands that were established during the actually pre-apartheid. Excuse me? Do you want to... It sounds like you wanted to explain what Bantu stand is. So maybe you should
I know the Bantu stands as the TPBC states, Transkei, Venda, Bophuthatswana, and Ciskei,
okay,
which were the states before 94, which no longer exist now after 94. I don't know if you're talking about those states.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, the Bantu stands, which we are... which I think you clearly know what they are, but I'm speaking particularly about the Bantu stands bills that are currently being passed that advocate for basically removing, in many ways, like rights of citizenry and property ownership, right, to folks in rural South Africa. And with that comes the power within particular kind of chiefdoms that are not elected to remove graves and to exhume graves, to basically remove people's ability to kind of claim tenure of land. So yeah, I think that will be my offering. And if there are any questions or whatever, yeah.
Thank you.